Made, yeah, that which suck, system of religion,
Hindi, Avishuddha,
not pure, Shahishnu, temporary, Dharma Bahula, full of irreligion. Translation being full of contradictions, all forms of religion but Bhagavad Dharma work under conceptions of fruit of results and distinctions of you and I and yours and mine. Followers of Srimad Bhagavan know such consciousness. They're all Krishna conscious, thinking they're Krishna's and Krishna's theirs. There are other low-class religious systems which are contemplated for the killing of enemies and the gain of mystic power, but such religious systems, being full of passion and envy, are impure and temporary. Because they are full of envy, they are full of irreligion. Rupa Bhagavad Dharma has no contradictions. Conceptions of your religion and my religion are completely absent from Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma means following the orders given by the Supreme Lord. Bhagavan has stated in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma and Parcha Manyakam Sharanam Raja. God is one and God is for everyone. Therefore, everyone must surrender to God. That is the pure conception of religion. Whatever Dharma orders constitutes religion. In Bhagavata Dharma, there is no question of what you believe or what I believe. Everyone must believe in the Supreme Lord and carry out His orders. Anukriyana Krishna and Sridharana, whatever Krishna says, whatever God says, should be directly carried out. That is Dharma, religion. If one is actually Krishna conscious, he cannot have any enemies, since his only engagement is to induce others to surrender to Krishna or God. How can he have enemies? If one advocates the Hindu religion, the Muslim religion, Christian religion, this religion or that religion, there will be conflicts. History shows that the followers of religious systems, without a clear conception of God, have fought with one another. There have been instances of this in human history, the systems of religion, that do not concentrate upon service to the Supreme are temporary, cannot last for long because they are full of envy. There are many activities that are directed against such religious systems, and therefore one must give up the idea of my belief and your belief. Everyone should believe in God and surrender unto Him. That is Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma is not a concocted sectarian belief, for it entails research to find how everything is connected with Krishna. According to the Vedic injunction, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, Brahman, the Supreme is present in everything. Bhagavata Dharma captures this presence of the Supreme. Bhagavata Dharma does not consider everything of the world to be false, because everything emanates from the Supreme. Nothing can be false. Everything has some use in the service of the Supreme. For example, we're now dictating into a microphone, recording on a dictating machine, and thus we are finding how the machine can be connected to the Supreme Brahman. Since we are using this machine in the service of the Lord, it is Brahman. This is the meaning of Sarvam Kalvidam Brahman. Everything is Brahman because everything can be used for the service of the Supreme Lord. Nothing is mitya, false. Everything is actual. Bhagavad Dharma is called Sarva Krishna, the best of all religious systems, because those who follow Bhagavad Dharma are not envious of anyone. Pure Bhagavatas, pure devotees, invite everyone without envy to join the Krishna consciousness movement. A devotee is therefore exactly like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sufridam Sarva Bhutanam, he is the friend of all living entities. Therefore, this is the best of all religious systems. Whereas so-called religions are meant for a particular type of person who believes in a particular way, such discrimination has no place in Krishna consciousness or Bhagavata Dharma. If we scrutinize the religious systems meant for worship of demigods or anyone else but the Supreme Personality of God, we will find they are full of envy and therefore impure. Translation, being full of contradictions, all forms of religion but Bhagavad Dharma work under conceptions of fruit of results and distinctions of you and I and yours and mine. The followers of Srimad Bhagavatam have no such consciousness. They are all Krishna conscious, thinking they are Krishna's and Krishna's theirs. There are other low-class religious systems which are contemplated for the killing of enemies or the gain of mystic power. But such religious systems, full of passion, envy, are impure and temporary. Because they're full of envy, they are full of irreligion. So, here Chitraketu was pointing out the difference between what the Bhagavatam is saying and other conceptions. And the basis of the difference is that other religions or other philosophies tend to concentrate upon material distinctions. And this gives rise to a lot of problems. So within the so-called Hindu Dharma itself, we'll find that there are many aspects which do cater to materialism. So the whole of the Karma Kanda is based on the idea that you can be happy in the material world, and it is to do with your material body. So it is based upon distinctions, good and bad in the material world. And of course, we'll find that not only in Karma Mimamsa philosophy this is so, but outside of that, we'll also find many, many philosophies and religions which concentrate upon being happy in the material world. So, therefore, their conceptions are ultimately based upon material vision in terms of bodies, material bodies. Because of that, because they think in terms of body, and then they have to think in terms of good and bad and friend and enemy. And then we have competition. I am better than you and whatnot. So this is all based upon bodies. Once we get rid of this conception of bodies at all, and that everyone's not, then we can't talk about I'm better than you or whatever, because the better and the worse is all relative to the material world. So, at least if we come to the idea that we are Atma rather than body, then we can get rid of a lot of the conflict that arises because of religious difference. So, therefore, a superior religion will not concentrate upon this concepts of me and mine and you, etc., based upon bodies. That will be a superior religion. And a religion which thinks in terms of material bodies, etc., then it must ultimately be inferior and subject to conflicts. So, now we have, of course, many ways in which we can think of not being the body. One is the impersonal approach, or the Gyani, or the Brahmavadi, or the Mayavadi. This is one way in which we can think everything is all wonderful and everything is one and there is no conflict. So that's one solution. It gets rid of the conflict, at least. And we don't think in terms of material bodies. Then we have the Vaishnava conception that, yes, we're not the body, but we are the servant of the Supreme Lord. That's another way of getting rid of bodily conceptions, not by negating the body so much as by affirming our connection with the Supreme Lord. I am the servant of the Lord. This also has the same result. We do not think in terms of me and mine, etc., and material bodies. We're thinking of our relationship with the Supreme Lord. Of course, this can also fall into material conception because I am the servant of the Lord. We can think in material terms also. We can identify with our material body and that the material body is the servant of the Lord or whatever like that. However, even that is not problematic, because we can use matter to serve the Lord also. We can use the body to serve the Lord. We can use material things to serve the Lord. That is not a problem. However, the problem will come if we also think Supreme Lord is a material entity. Not only I have a material body, but also the Supreme Lord is a material entity. And then we're back into the duality of the material world. My God is better than your God or whatever. Yeah? So the idea is that God is beyond all this difference. We cannot think of God in terms of being better or worse than this or that. Yeah? Once we're out of the material world, we can't think in terms of good and bad anymore, or superior, inferior. Yeah? Yeah? Everything is spiritual. And these differences disappear completely. And there's no such thing as friend or enemy, etc. So we see that in terms of God. Sometimes people depict God in terms of he has enemies, so he kills the enemies. And we'll see even in the Vedic scriptures, we see that the Supreme Lord killing demons, etc. There, so we're thinking, oh yes, the God also has enemies and he hates these enemies or whatever. But it's made very clear in the Bhagavad that God does not hate anybody. Nor does he like anybody. He's neutral to the people in the material world. He's actually neutral. And anything that happens to the people in the material world is self-created because of karma. And they get the good results or the bad results in the material world because of the law of karma, not because of the Lord liking or disliking a person. So in this sense, the Lord doesn't hate anybody particularly, and nor does he like anybody. This, of course, gives rise to a peculiar problem, because if the Lord doesn't like or hate anything, then what does he do at all? He's just completely beyond everybody. Why should we worship him at all if he doesn't respond to us? So this is also made clear in the Bhagavad Gita, for instance. Yes, I'm sama, I'm equal to everyone, but I'm attracted to my devotees. My devotees are attracted to me, and I'm attracted to my devotees. So therefore, the Lord is neutral to normal people in the material world. At the same time, one who worships the Lord gets a very good response from the Lord. So according to the amount of attachment we have for the Lord has attachment for us. So in this way, the Lord cannot be criticized as being completely indifferent to the human beings. Rather, according to our attachment to him, then he has equal attachment. So therefore, this is quite just. We cannot criticize the Lord for this at all. So the and this is all beyond material considerations. So the Lord does not consider your material identity at all. He does not consider your caste or your ashram or your country or whatever. He's not looking at bodies at all. He's looking at the Atma's relationship with him beyond the body. So he's completely beyond bodily consideration himself. And the devotee also is beyond thinking in terms of materialism also. So when he thinks of the Lord, he's not thinking of a material entity with a material form. He's thinking of spiritual Lord with spiritual form and spiritual qualities and spiritual activities beyond the gunas of material nature, not affected by those things at all. So this is all possible because the Lord has his intachintya shakti. He has inconceivable powers and energy by which he can be completely aloof from the material world and manifest form, qualities, and activities, etc., which are not in any way affected by matter. And we will think that having a form is a limitation, having qualities means sattvas, rajas, tamas in the material world. But no, the Lord has qualities, but they're beyond sattva, rajas, tamas. He has activities. He has a form, not limited by anything. So, therefore, this is the nature of the Supreme Lord, that is not actually subject to our material conception at all. But by the mercy of the Lord, Scripture is able to depict that. So it's not that the Lord cannot be described and cannot be pronounced, whatever. Some scriptures and other religions say, no, you cannot give a name to the Lord, you cannot utter his name at all. You cannot depict the Lord in any way with form, etc. So that is not true. The scriptures have the power to do so. How is it possible? Because words are material. The solution, of course, is that these words are not material. Scripture is non-different from the Lord. It's also the Lord's Shakti. And secondly, the Lord, by his Shakti, can, or his choice, can spiritualize anything. Whether it is our senses, our body, our words, or whatever. If it is endowed with the Lord's Shakti, then it is no longer material. So in this way, the devotee can begin to speak about the Lord, and he can also perceive the Lord, because his senses are no longer material. they got Shakti of the Lord in them. The Chit Shakti. So this is the gain of mercy of the Lord, that he manifests Chit Shakti, and therefore we are able to talk about the Lord, describe the Lord, and perceive the Lord with a form. So this is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And it's all non-material. So, this verse here is predicting the other persons who think in terms of difference, which means they have material conceptions of the Lord and the devotees and all living entities, and they're thinking in terms of bodies, material bodies which are all different from each other, and the Supreme Lord who's different from everyone else's conception of the Supreme Lord. So this naturally gives rise to competition and conflict and whatever. And the result is not that we get peace, but we get disturbance in the world because of this. And it's because of this that some people reject religion as being a big disturbance to us. It causes conflict, so why should we have religions? That is true. If the religion is based on material principles, material conceptions, then it must be that. On the other hand, if we reject all these material conceptions and we don't base our philosophy upon it at all, and we're trying to stick beyond it, then there should be no conflict at all. And therefore we'll find that the examples are there in the great acharyas. They have no conceptions of material identity at all. They have no conflict with anyone, no human being, and not even the animals or the plants. Because they're not thinking in terms of matter at all. They're thinking everything in relation to the Supreme Lord. That, of course, is evident in the highest level of prema, where the devotee in prema sees everything in relation to the Lord, all material things in the material world even, which are strictly not spiritual, and even the demons in relation to the Supreme Lord. So he sees everything in terms of that, nothing in terms of friend or enemy, or good or bad, or dharma or adharma even. So, this is a very high conception, but that is the basis of the Bhagavata. It accepts this. And therefore, the Bhagavata philosophy is considered to be supreme, because it presents purely the conception of God apart from anything material, and rejects all of those religions, philosophies, and darshanas, or whatever, which are based upon some sort of difference. And in the spiritual realm, it defines the highest aspect, that is Bhagavan. And therefore we call it Bhagavata Dharma, not Brahman Dharma or anything like that. It is Bhagavata Dharma because it defines the Supreme Lord in his complete state.
Shaktis of the Lord, do they have a personification?
They can or they can't, depending on the Lord's will and whatever. So that obviously some do in the spiritual world. There are Shaktis with personification. Like Padini is personified in Radharani and Lakshmi, etc. And we do have personifications of other Shaktis. Durga Devi is Achit Shakti. Of course, we don't have Tatastha Shakti as a personality itself. Some of the other Shaktis are also personified in the spiritual world. Yoga Maya is personification, and Parnamasi, and whatever.
If
one is a materialist, even a spiritual form becomes material. They look at Krishna, they don't see Krishna, they see a material entity there. So that's the nature of the Supreme Lord. He does not reveal himself to anybody except the one he chooses. So it's only by the mercy of the Lord that we can see the Lord, not by our will. Of course, if one is a devotee, then the Lord reveals himself to that person. But it's up to the Lord ultimately.
Shakti and Prakriti. Shakti a part of Prakriti?
It's one energy. It's Achit Shakti. manifestation of Achit Shakti is Prakriti and all this in the material world. Chit Shakti manifests spiritual world.
Thank you.